Good morning. It is 16 minutes after 8 a.m. and you're tuned to your community radio station, Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Joining me in the studio, I have two instructors from Sitka Fine Arts Camp, Paul Cox and Amy Butcher. Welcome to Morning Edition.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks. Well, we're coming up on the end of the two-week high school session, Sitka Fine Arts Camp, which culminates the summer season for Sitka Fine Arts Camp. So we have some final performances and some student showcases coming up. Paul, you teach music. Amy, you teach creative writing. What was that like for you this year, Paul? What were the music classes and what was that like?
Oh, they're great. I help out in a lot of the ensemble classes and I teach music composition and help out in this thing called Blast Masterclass where the trumpets and all the brass and percussion get together and work on making as beautiful and big a sound as possible. So it's been great to see the kids on this roller coaster and learning in a very compressed time, you know, really doing a whole semester's work in 2 weeks. And so now we're in the back end of the camp after the 4th of July break and sort of hurtling towards. So there's a lot of adrenaline. It's really exciting. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, and the kids come in so prepared and they're ready to do great creative work, and it's inspiring to the faculty and the staff and the counselors and everyone. So we're all there for the students, and so now it's just ramping up for this final last set of performances.
Amy, what classes do you teach?
I'm currently teaching a class in creative nonfiction as well as a class in experimental poetry, and this year a magical realism class, which has been quite a bit of fun to teach. And I would echo Paul's sentiments. I mean, it's fantastic to see the writers. This is my fifth summer joining the Sitka Fine Arts Camp, so I've had the opportunity to see a lot of these students grow from the middle school camp now through high school, some of them graduating. A few students, are in college now, which is really exciting to see. So it's been really fantastic. The kids are always really excited for their creative writing classes and all of their classes, and it's been really fun to challenge them in new ways. The magical realism class came about because there were a lot of students interested in fantasy and sci-fi writing, which I don't necessarily do, but I do teach magical realism, and that kind of blends, you know, this literary style of writing with the fantasy, the magical, the mythical. And especially here in Sitka, that's a lovely place, you know, to go to Totem Park and to walk around and to imagine what if and create these characters and objects that we bring to life in our stories.
These kids are here for 2 weeks and they're engaged in what is essentially a really immersive artistic experience. You know, we see them walking around town, but we might not really understand what they're doing. What's life like for them and for you as instructors who live there as well?
I mean, for these 2 weeks, it's incredibly immersive. They are not just, you know, taking classes. They are truly artists engaging in a lifestyle, and that lifestyle extends certainly beyond the classroom. I think, you know, in a lot of ways, I think of myself as giving them tools and skills and showing them certain things, but it's amazing to see them not only engage with that in the classroom, but then to go back to their dorm and write, you know, 30 poems in a night because they were excited, or to try something new. They're also seeing their faculty and staff and counselors jumping up on stage and collaborating, sharing not only work that they came to camp prepared, you know, to share, but also new things that they maybe came up with last night and they've practiced 4 or 5 hours preparing for some sort of, song or poem or story. One of their counselors, in fact, read a story that was fantastically polished and all of the students loved it. And I talked to him and it turns out he had written it here at the Sitka Fine Arts Camp in the last week or two, which is really, I think, inspiring and incredible, I think, for them to see.
So there's a feedback loop between the faculty and certainly the counselors too and the students. So once they see us at art shares struggling through something or presenting something brand new, I think the faculty especially are inspired by the process of camp and they're inspired by seeing the students trying out something new. They're being very brave and vulnerable and then we get inspired and do the same thing.
Paul, you're a veteran instructor at camp. Do you find that your experiences at camp have influenced you as an artist outside of camp?
Oh yeah, I think that's exactly right. When I'm leaving Cleveland this time and saying goodbye to my boss, I said, I'm going back home to work with students who are from the far reaches of Alaska. And I always love meeting the students who have never heard of a harp or certain instruments and then they're going to try out composing for that instrument. And it's just, you could sort of see the world blooming for them. So it's sort of an ideal pedagogical place to try out new ideas and to really get inspired by students who just have a really fresh and open way of seeing the world.
Do you feel like it can maybe counteract some of the jadedness, you know, as we go through life in our professions we might experience?
Absolutely. I mean, as a writer, I can say, and I think this is probably true for most of us, I mean, art has always been for me a way of processing and experiencing the world and expressing myself and finding, you know, struggling with things like identity. I came to writing when I was very young, like many writers do. And I think once we find that passion, that way to you know, explore out loud, I think things are really never the same. I know for my writers all year long, I'm thinking of what would challenge them. What piece could I bring to them to show them that is unlike anything they've ever seen before, which is really my goal. And I do that with writing exercises as well. I'm thinking of, you know, the kid, yes, in Anchorage or Juneau, but also these remote communities that maybe haven't been around a lyric essay, for example. And now they're trying, you know, three different exercises that you know, speak in abstraction. And I think that's a lot of fun for me and certainly something I love to bring to camp.
It seems like underlying all these artistic experiences for the kids, whether it's through music, through writing, through visual art, performance, it's finding a voice. And maybe some of these kids never realized they had one before.
Finding their voice and their people. Mm-hmm. This is where people find other people who share these interests. So, and I have to say, I think Amy, you know better than me, but that this camp is unique in the country for the diversity of offerings.
Mm-hmm. I would absolutely agree. And I think to echo that idea of finding people and friendship, I mean, a lot of the students that I have, you know, they're across. I have a student who her family moved to Virginia 2 years ago, and she read a essay the other day in class inspired by an exercise about how she waits for these 2 weeks because she sees her best friend from when she lived here. And others have, you know, met just in their time at camp and look forward to seeing each other every single year. And it's really lovely to see. You have that sense even on day one, you know, the first rec time that they have, they're all out on the lawn catching up with everything that's gone on in the year. And it's really moving and lovely to see.
Yeah, not many opportunities. I have two kids who go to camp too, and it's the most important thing they do every year.
Well, final performances and exhibitions, they are coming up on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. What does this mean to the students?
Well, I think it's their benchmark, right? It's their model. They're striving for this for the 2 weeks. And this is something they take back to their homes afterwards. And they go, well, we accomplished this in 2 weeks. We can do so much more. So I think it really galvanizes them to be successful when they go back to their schools. And it's so it sort of sets the benchmark for the next year as well. And I've seen sort of this incredible steady improvement in everything since 2000.
Yeah, I would agree that I think, you know, our students are always really talented, but they're certainly much more sort of aggressive in their pursuit of mastering art or showing, you know, the audience, this is what we've learned and this is what we're really excited about. In a lot of ways, I mean, they're essentially doing what we as artists do in 2 weeks with what we do in years, you know. I mean, I know if I have a reading, it's something that I've prepared for and I've spent years on. And they're really jumping up on stage at the end of 2 weeks and sharing something, which takes incredible bravery and vulnerability and also talent.
So there are a lot of performances coming up, which folks can learn more about at the Sitka Fine Arts Camp website, I assume. Let's talk specifically about what your kids are doing. Amy, what's coming up for your students?
Sure. On Saturday afternoon, we have a reading from all of the creative writers, my classes, as well as Brendan Isaac Jones's classes, who is a local Sitkin teaching an array of poetry and fiction courses. And we also have a literary journal that we're bringing back from the early days of camp called the Devil's Club Review, which will be available in the Yaw Chapel at the reading and has a showcase of student writing from our 2 weeks here.
Paul?
Well, the music is ramping up quick. And so Thursday at 7 o'clock at the Sitka Performing Arts Center, they have Sonic Boom, which is one of my favorite programs that Ed Littlefield puts together. And there's the jazz bands and combos are playing that day as well. And on Friday, they have all manner of theater, modern dance up at the PAC as well. And then on Saturday are the final performances, and that's when the band and the orchestra play at the PAC. And then late at night, I think starting at 10, are the rock bands. And so they perform. It's a big dance. It's exciting.
And they pick a lot, a fantastic sort of array of contemporary and classic rock, which is always really fun to see the students perform.
Okay. Well, we're about out of time. Any closing thoughts?
We love for the community to come out. It's fantastic to see these students really shine at what they do. And it's always a really moving, varied sort of event to see, you know, juggling and also piano and many other arts. So we'd love to have the community come out.
Yes, it's for sure the parents will come out and support, but everyone in the community should be part of this because they've had such a hand in revitalizing the Sheldon Jackson campus over the years, and it's remarkable to see and it grow to year-round event and whatnot. So kudos to Sitka for putting that place back together.
Well, great. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having us.
Bye-bye. We've been speaking with Paul Cox and Amy Butcher. They're both instructors over at Sitka Fine Arts Camp. Final performances are Thursday at 7 p.m. in the Odessa Theater, Friday and Saturday, 7 at the PAC. Visual arts shows and afternoon showcase on Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m. at the campus. There are over 60 different classes in the two-week-long high school intensive. They're offered in theater, dance, music, creative writing, visual arts, Alaska Native arts, and digital arts.